a certain story flow to the New Testament. And I'm not talking about the story flow of the many lessons and the doctrines that we learn. Do we lose? There we go. But I'm talking about the story flow, the historical development of the letters and books themselves. Directional. That is the historical reasons for which they were written. And I've been pursuing that. Are we on? Must be the switch. It's like standing on a hose and the current can't get through. All right. Sounds fairly good. All right. Well, anyway, pursuing this story flow chronologically through the New Testament, the development of the letters, we're up to the time of the letters to Timothy and Titus. But I thought a review was in order today, because if you take those 13 messages that I've done on this subject so far and you spread them across 2 years, there's not much of a flow there. There's a story, but it doesn't flow very well. So today I thought I would use some maps to kind of glue that story flow together. I know the places and the times in order kind of helped me. I hope they'll help you as well. And so we didn't start this series, or I didn't start this series with the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Gospels, simply because the Gospels were written in the 60s, and I'm trying to do this chronologically in the development of the letters and books. The story of the composition of the letters and books really begins with the Apostle Paul, except probably for the exception of the book of James. It starts with the Apostle Paul. And Paul's ministry basically begins in Antioch. Okay, you see Antioch over on the right-hand side there, quite a ways north of Jerusalem. Paul comes from Tarsus, the capital of Cilicia. And Paul had been up in Tarsus since shortly after his conversion. But at the beginning of the church in Antioch, Barnabas brings Paul down to help with the church at Antioch. And they go together on the first journey in about 45 A.D. Paul and Barnabas leave Antioch. The red line there goes through Cyprus, which is their path, and then they go up into Galatia. And they preach and inform the churches at the city of Antioch, that is the Pisidian Antioch, and then Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, following the red line up there. And then they retrace their steps. They convert many Gentiles, of course, it's the unusual thing. They've converted many Gentiles as well as Jews. And then retrace their steps back to the coast and back to Antioch. That brings us to Acts 15. After they return from that first trip, in about 49, certain men come up from Jerusalem. Which is the purple line, coming up from Jerusalem, they come to Antioch, teaching the need for circumcision. And the men come from Judea, not specifically maybe Jerusalem, it says Judea. But we know from the letter at the end of this chapter 15 that they did not represent the apostles. That's what James says. And in fact, in the book of Galatians, Paul says these were false brethren. False brethren unawares brought in. And the circumcision that they preached was a Gnostic doctrine. The heresy was a false Christian gospel. But the thing to notice, especially about Acts 15, I think, is that Paul and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem, which is the lighter line there. They go down to Jerusalem and have this question settled and come back. But the men who brought up the question to begin with, the certain men who came from Judea, did not go. They had their own doctrines. They did not care what the apostles would say about this question. As John would write about them, I think he's talking about them some 30 years later in 1 John when he says they went out from us, but they were not of us. They were not authorized to preach what they preached. And when Paul and Barnabas get back up to Antioch, they are not there. They are not there. Where did they go? It doesn't say. Did they go north? Did they go east? Doesn't say. But I think that we run into them again in Corinth and in Galatia and in Asia. Okay, after that, then, is the second trip. Starts at Antioch. And on the second trip, Paul goes overland back to the four churches in Galatia. This is when Paul finds Timothy in Lystra. Timothy is from Lystra, and Timothy is with him for the rest of Paul's life. Then, having gone through the churches again in Galatia, he continues up the red line across Asia. He doesn't stop in Asia. Luke says that he's inspired not to go to Asia or Bithynia. He crosses all the way over to Macedonia. And there he raises up three churches in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And then he goes down to the province of Achaia in lower Greece and founds the church at Corinth. And he is down there for about a year and a half, from about the years 51 through 52. And from Corinth, he writes, the purple lines going up there are two books being sent north to Thessalonica, the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And then the light line here in the map is from Corinth back by sea, brief stop at Ephesus, and he sails back to Jerusalem and then returns to Antioch. That's the end of the second trip. The only books of the New Testament we have written so far are 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Okay, trip 3, 54 through 58 A.D., approximately. The dates are approximate. Paul, once again, goes overland through the four churches of Galatia. But after Galatia, this time, he goes straight on west and goes back to Ephesus for the second time. He preaches in Ephesus for 2 or 3 years, and the church spreads out from Ephesus to surrounding cities, mostly by word of mouth rather than Paul himself, but we know that the church at Colossae somehow is formed, probably from the church at Ephesus, around 57. Then, while he's still at Ephesus, he hears of the heresy problem going on in Corinth, and he writes 1 Corinthians, which is the purple line there. He writes to the Corinthians, "For there must also be heresies among you," in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Then he goes to Corinth himself, overland, up north by Troas and through Macedonia, finally down to Corinth. On his way to Corinth, somewhere in Macedonia, he writes 2 Corinthians. And here he's confronting the false teachers even more directly in the book of 2 Corinthians. Before he arrives down in Corinth, apparently he puts down the problem himself personally in Corinth. He stays in Corinth for 3 months, according to Acts. And during that time, he gets word of the outbreak of the heresy in Galatia. And he writes the book of Galatians from Corinth. That's the lower purple line there with the forks on the end of it, because it's going to the multiple churches in the province of Galatia. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel." And that's really my subject. What is the other gospel? "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And at the same time, or shortly after writing the book of Galatians, he writes the letter to the Romans. So somewhere around 57 or 58. And I think it is to head off the heresy taking root in Rome. You know, I see the book of Romans undercutting the basic philosophy of the heresy. He demonstrates in the book of Romans that the Creator God, the God of the Old Testament, is indeed faithful and that he is fulfilling his promises. And this is at its core different than the gospel that the heretics are preaching. They have found another God and they no longer believe in the supremacy of the God of the Jews. Also, I drew the line with the question mark going to the right there from Corinth, because the last chapter of Romans seems to be addressed to Ephesus. It's full of greetings to all kinds of people that he knows in Ephesus. Apparently, the copy of Romans that we have is the copy that was sent to Ephesus, probably to head off what he expects to be the invasion of the heresy in the province of Asia. After Corinth, then, the light line, then, he retraces a step up through Macedonia and stops again at Ephesus. This is the second warning to Ephesus. This is the time when he comes and gathers the elders of Ephesus and tells them, beware of dogs. No, this is, I'm going to get ahead of myself. It's not one. He tells them of the grievous wolves that will come. And then he sails on to Jerusalem, intending, you know, later maybe to be brought through Spain, through Rome to Spain, but he never makes it, because in Jerusalem he's arrested, and he's imprisoned in Caesarea for some 2 years. And then, in about 60 A.D., the red line is from Jerusalem back to Rome, which is off my map, sorry, but you can envision Rome off to the left there. Okay, so he goes to Rome and he's imprisoned in Rome then for about 2 years, 61 through 63. From Rome then we have the prison epistles. The purple lines are not routes, they're just sending of letters out from Rome. The top one is to Philippi, the letter to the Philippians, where he thanks the church for their support, and he warns them to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, which he's calling the heresy, the concision. And then, while he's in Rome, an elder from Colossae comes over to Rome and tells him of the problem that is invading the church at Colossae. And he writes to the Colossians in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. We've gone through all these books in detail earlier, but just to remind you that it's very obvious that he's fighting the heresy in Colossae. And along with the letter to the Colossians, of course, is the letter to Philemon, also in Colossae. But he writes Ephesians. Ephesians seems to be a general letter addressed to anyone in the province of Asia who needs to fight against the heresy. A copy of it is sent obviously to Ephesians, which is the one that's preserved for us today. Another one is probably sent to Laodicea, which is mentioned in Colossians, and maybe to other churches in Asia as well. But he writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:14, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is the third warning then to Ephesus that the heresy is coming and it's going to center on Asia, and it turns out it will. Also, not on this picture, but around the same time, apparently Paul realizes that there's a need for the Gospels, for a history of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And he asks, I think, Matthew, back in Judea, who's probably a well-known biographer of Jesus Christ, chronicler of Jesus Christ, to write such a gospel in Greek. He also apparently asked Mark, a close associate of his, to write such a gospel in Greek. And he asked probably Luke, an even closer associate, a careful historian, to write the gospel in Greek, as well as document Paul's own ministry, which is the book of Acts, basically the book of Acts. And these Gospels were needed, again, in my opinion, because they document the human birth and the death of Jesus Christ and his teachings. And these are all necessary to fight against the doctrine and the false ideas about who the Christ is. And finally, I'm including in the prison epistles, Hebrews, the top line there. At the end of his imprisonment, Paul is out of prison, and he writes Hebrews to the Jewish Christians of Asia in about 63 A.D. He especially addresses, if you recall, I addressed this last time I spoke, misconceptions that they had about angels, about Melchizedek, about the heavenly tabernacle, those kinds of things, addressing the heresy against for particularly the Jewish Christians of Asia Minor. Timothy has been in custody, it says, at the end of Hebrews, and he's been released, with whom Paul says, "Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you." That's at the end of Hebrews. And Paul and Timothy are now going to travel away from Rome when Paul... And now that Paul and Timothy are both free. And this is where we have come to chronologically in the 13 messages that I just described these various letters. Here we go beyond the book of Acts, though. And so Paul's travels from this point have to be derived from his letters to Timothy and Titus. There is a trip 4. And it seems to be that from Rome, Paul and his team traveled to Crete because he leaves Titus at Crete. Why Crete? I don't know. We don't have a history of the church in Crete, whether Paul started it or whether he just started it now. But in either case, or if somebody else started it, he leaves Titus there to deal with problems in Crete, and then from there probably goes up to Ephesus. As he had written at the end of Hebrews that he and Timothy would come shortly, he comes, and in Ephesus, it's recorded in the letters to Timothy, there's a lot of problems. He has a rough time in Ephesus this time, and he leaves Timothy there in Ephesus to deal with the heresy. In 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul writes to Timothy, "As I urged you to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine." He's fighting the heresy, which is now centered in Ephesus. Paul goes on to Macedonia for some reason. On this map, by the way, I've also added in the province of Asia the other 5 churches of the 7 churches of Revelation. They're all scattered around Ephesus. They all probably branched off from Paul's preaching in Ephesus. But you can see that the population of the church is now centered in Ephesus, and the problem with the heresy is going to be centered in Asia, centered on Ephesus, which is going to be true also in the writings of Peter and Jude, and is going to be true even 25, 30 years later in the writings of John, when John moves to Ephesus. Paul, anyway, goes on to Macedonia, and from there, apparently, he writes back to his 2 emissaries, one being Titus down in Crete, and the other one being Timothy over in Ephesus. From there, you can only put together a few fragments. Follow that up, the squiggly red line out of Macedonia. We know from the letters, the second letter to Timothy, that he returned to Ephesus. It also says that he visits Troas, up there by the Dardanelles, and then he also visits Corinth. So we know he went that far. It's also recorded in it's the letter to Titus, that he intends to winter at Epirus, Nicopolis, over on the left there, close to present-day Albania, Nicopolis. He intends to winter there. However, this is around 65 AD, and around 64 AD, Nero burns down quite a bit of Rome. He blames it on the Christians, and this severe persecution of Christians begins. And so sometime along this path, as Paul works his way toward Nicopolis, Paul is arrested, and he's hauled off to Rome where he's executed. From Rome, he writes the letter, his last letter. The purple line there is coming from Rome off the map to Timothy again in about 68 AD, shortly before his death. My back button. I want to go back to this one because this is where we're going to take it up next time I speak. The situation again is Paul has just come from prison, stops at Crete, Ephesus, goes to Macedonia, and now he is going to write to Titus in Crete and Timothy in Ephesus, where he's charged them that they charge others that they teach no other doctrine. Because they are teaching some other doctrine. What is that doctrine? And that's the question I want to come back to. I'll pick it up from here the next time I speak.